Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Won't you pray with me right now, too, before this message? Father, we just come and we seek your face for this message. We seek you, Lord God, as we just made that covenant, Lord, with you. We ask that it be your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Lord, I pray that every word that's spoken, both through my voice or into our hearts, would be directly from your heart to our heart. We seek your face. We seek your justice. We seek your righteousness. We seek your healing. Lord, we give up our right to be right so that we can gain your righteousness. Have your way in us. We declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had another message prepared. And as always, the Lord said, nope, you're not going to cop out. Well, I'm talking about this week. I was going to teach you about praise. When I was in the square on Tuesday, praying and ministering at the protest, the Lord began to talk about the power of praise and the different names for the Lord that have to do with praise and breakthrough. So I was going to go there, but the Lord says, nope. I begged him, can I preach that message instead? This message said, nope. So I'm going to bring you what he said to bring you. Because we're supposed to have an answer. I told you a couple weeks ago, he's not given us a spirit of fear that causes us to cower away from the day of difficulty. Right? The day of tribulation, the day of moments. Why? Because for a time such as this, we like to quote Esther all the time when we go through difficult moments. Yet, when we're the ones called to be an Esther, we don't like it. It causes us to... Yeah, you go for it. You go, girl, right? Like, you go for it. And the Lord's going like, where's my church? I'm calling the church to be an Esther in the season. I'm calling this church to step up and begin to step in the place that doesn't cause you to cower away, but I've given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm not going to preach that message, but we need to understand what we have access to. And there's been a lot of different things that have happened, and this is the way the Lord's designed me. I can't get away from my assignment to be a bridge. It's been that way my entire life, as I've always been a bridge, where I've found myself oftentimes being friends with people who weren't friends with one another. I often found myself being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper, right? But just bringing people together and bringing the stuff like that. So as everything began to unfold, and I shared with you guys my heart, I was broken and just weeping because of what I saw poured out through a satanic move of somebody who is lost kneeling on the neck of somebody. It's a human thing. It's a humanity issue that we have to understand that was there. And so it began to like, oh my gosh. And the Lord began to remind me of Hebrews 12. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The earth and the heavens. Okay? What does that mean? His throne is not shaken, so he's not talking about the third heaven. He's talking about the second heaven, the angelic realm, where the demonic forces work and operate. And here's what's been happening. Those things, the devil does not like to reveal himself so casually. Often we have this picture of like a horror movie where the person's head begins to spin around and we're like, oh, well, that's the devil. No, he masquerades as an angel of light. He comes with agendas. He comes with things to steal, kill, and destroy. But the way he does it is he's trying to disciple the minds of men to think like he thinks. So why do you think Jesus says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know the perfect and pleasing will of your Father? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the ages. And so here's what's been happening. This old enemy, and Isaiah calls him a serpent. This old dragon, Revelation talks about him. Like this one is kind of hidden his way all the way back to Adam and Eve. And suddenly, in the last, it even began with, I think, coronavirus. You began to see hidden motivations, hidden plans and plots and stuff like that. And what we used to relegate to conspiracy, we begin to see that the enemy's been conspiring to come to steal, kill, and destroy through different stuff. And so if you want to understand what happened with George Floyd, it was the plan of the enemy, the evil one of a man's heart, and the devil going, I'm going to stir up division. I'm going to do whatever I can to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to try to get at people's hearts for they begin to do this, where even the church begins to battle one another. And the Lord's going, no, I'm going to use what you meant for evil to expose the heart and the intent of the enemy behind your, and I'm shaking it. See, we don't battle according to the flesh. We cannot engage in a fleshly battle. We cannot engage in a soulish battle. We will get our butts handed to us every time. Okay? Because we are not meant to be a soulish people. We're meant to be a spiritual people that influences our soul and our body. Okay? We have to fight this battle in the right way. And so as I've been watching this thing going, and I'm so grateful for one of my brothers that I was able to call him up and say, hey, I just need to process because you know my heart, I know your heart, and I need to data dump, I need to throw up, I need to do whatever because I see what's happening right now. And I see the injustice here, but at the same time, I've given myself to the kingdom. I've given myself to seek first after his kingdom and his righteousness, and I don't evaluate things from a human point of view anymore. I can't help but sit at the 60,000-foot view and go, oh, I see exactly what the enemy's doing. But then at the same time, I'm watching people I love on the earth go through this thing that's happening. I don't know about a way to describe it other than a thing. The enemy is trying to disrupt peace. He's trying to disrupt relationships. He's trying to do whatever he can. I'm not unaware of what's happened. And the Lord began to speak to me saying, I've made you to be a bridge. Because you can see the hearts and the minds of everyone engaged in this thing. And you're called to bring my heart to them. Now I say that's my assignment, but I'm telling you, that's your assignment. That's the church's assignment. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world back to him. And so here's what I've seen. Any solution that's just a, and hear me on this, I'm going to use a buzzword, but let's dig into the spiritual understanding, that's just a social justice is only going to be fought at this level. Because the very definitions of the group, and I'm not talking about specifically those seeking real justice. I'm talking about a different agenda, right? Cancel culture, all the other stuff that just took place. Trying to suppress the voice of the church of every color. Okay? Hear me on this. It's being fought at this level. There, in fact, I forgive me, I don't remember his name. I'm going to repost it. Richie Seltzer. In between services, I went to my office and I jumped on Facebook, and Richie had posted something from this African American dean of theology at a school, and man, he was talking about social justice, and it was so good. And he was just talking about how, when it's fought at this level, we have to understand what the strategy is on this thing. Yet we're called to bring a kingdom justice from heaven to earth, not the earth that fixes the earth. Do you hear what I'm saying? So as I've observed things, here's what I've come down to. I'm going to read something to you in a second, but I want to make it really clear in the beginning. I see two simplistic strategies to this. As an individual, anywhere I see somebody that's broken and hurting, that's experienced abuse, that's experienced oppression, that's experienced disease and stuff like that, I'm called to come and bring the comfort and the fullness of the gospel of healing to that person. It is not just and it's not merciful to see somebody hurting and pat them on the back and go, that really stinks. Oh, I sympathize with you. We use the word empathy, but it ain't really empathy. It's a sympathy. Because we're not releasing the kingdom answer into the situation. And I'm telling you, this is ministry. I've prayed across the world people that have experienced different injustices who've been broken and hurting. And that is the call, one-on-one. But then there's a 60,000-foot view where we have to understand the strategies of the enemy, right? So we can wage warfare according to heaven and to earth. and the seven mountains that we've been talking about, this aspect of training, equipping, sending people into the seven mountains of influence. So let's just hit this real quick. Arts and entertainment. What type of music, movies, books, literature, anything you want to call arts and entertainment have been presented out there that have presented people of all different sex, races, religion, whatever, in a light that's tearing them down? Or casting them and telling them, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim. You're not worth it. You deserve to be where you're at. Like, that's, listen to the music. And I'm talking about every form. I've gone back and began to listen to things. I grew up in the country, y'all. Country music, I grew up. And you had to play the song backwards to get your wife back, your dog back, and everybody happy again. In the rock world, we were worried about playing the record backwards because Satan was going to speak through that. I mean, like, but you hear what I'm saying? There's a level of demonic influence. And until we come into that realm and begin to understand how it influences the mind, the will, and the emotions, the psychology of people. I was listening to something from Dr. Caroline Leaf, and it was fascinating. She's got this, she understands the neuroscience of the mind and how when you go through that, it creates trauma in the brain that can carry on into generations. Come on. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. They can walk up to a person and humanize them and say, you individually matter. You. When we put people into generalized groups, the individual gets lost, which means the healing for where one person at gets lost. And what was Jesus a master of? He spoke to the crowds, but he found the one. And he ministered. But every person that walked away from Jesus in that type of encounter walked away whole. Walked away with hope. Walked away with purpose. Walked away knowing that they were not from this planet. They were from heaven above. That's what we're talking about. Education. The devil's pretty smart on educating generations. Let's just go back to Hitler. Hitler's youth. That's nothing new, y'all. I was in Uganda, 2010, and they're in a region where the children soldiers, the child soldiers, would be taken out of their homes and turned into blood killer, killing machines. And they did it through desensitizing them to violence. They did it where they bombarded them with trauma and violence, and then they converted them. This is the reality of the world. I could go through every single mountain and talk about the education of how we need to be sent into this thing. That's the 60,000-foot view. We have to bring kingdom solutions that impact real people. There is reform that's taking place in the hearts of people. But let me tell you this. If it's only a legislative issue, it won't change the heart. Why did it happen? We have laws on the books that says that is wrong, that murder is wrong, that rape is wrong. It's the heart of men that needs to be transformed, which is why you and I are the only ones that have the answer to this thing. Because we bring a radical hope. I'll give you a story. I remember Leif Hetland, and I probably said this before in service before, but Leif Hetland was in Pakistan. He's preaching in a large open crusade, which ironically, here's the thing, the Lord sent him in, connected him with the top imam in Pakistan. This guy was responsible for the bombings of the Catholic Church. But God sends Leif in, tells him, I want you to call him a man of peace. Present him with a peace award. Leif's like, but he's responsible. He goes, I don't know, trust me. And in this exchange, this thing happens, and this imam begins to say, you're the ambassador of love. Using a word that's not found in their language or religion. So under that man's cover and protection, a large open-air crusade has taken place. A suicide bomber comes up, strapped to the gills, was going to take out as many could with weapons, guns, and then blow him. The second he hits the atmosphere, starts stripping off this thing, goes to the front and goes, I don't know what just happened, but I need your God. Heaven and earth. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what we carry. This is real life. This is real people. This is not revival that makes you get the holy goosebumps and we get to feel good about each other, right? And then go out and see our world still go to hell. No more. This is what we're talking about. We're called to go, but we first have to receive it. We have to receive the gospel. We have to receive his healing. We have to deal with any area of our heart that's fractured or fragmented. We no more of this letting these things stay there. We need to deal with them in the light of who he is, because in that breakthrough, we're able to bring breakthrough. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm still going to read this. I felt like this is something I sent. I'll just say, I sent Corey this week because he was helping me process, or last week. As I've processed, a few things have become clear to me. Blacks still face both overt and covert discrimination and racism at various levels. You know what the issue is? Sin. That's it. It's not necessarily the system, but people operating within the system that determines the impact. Our system of government values the empowerment of people, but it requires checks and balances to ensure agendas of unrighteousness does not prevail. It's worthwhile working to preserve and protect our Constitution. Within it provides exactly what's needed to provide life, liberty, and justice for all. The groups that are out there, and this is not the ones who are protesting, this is the other groups that are coming in, that are calling for something else, defunding of the police, tearing down of other stuff like that. They're calling for systems that are Marxist in nature that have been responsible for widespread destruction, death, and oppression throughout the world. Look at China. Look at Russia. The Soviet Union. Stalin killed millions of people. He killed more people than Hitler did. Same system. Same mindset, same world power, which is a principality that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. We have to understand we fight an air battle as much as we fight a ground battle. Our ground warfare is one-on-one. I'm going to love somebody into the kingdom. I'm going to love them into wholeness. I'm going to love them regardless of where they're at and who they are. It doesn't matter. But our warfare in the air matters. Prayer, worship, declarations, and having a sound mind that recognizes, I see that agenda, and I see that agenda, and I will not fall for it. Instead, I will give a vocal voice. Do you want to know why he shut down the church but let you go to Walmart? Because he knows that the church is the only one that has the voice that will stop him. That's it. Come on, I'm going to get on this. It's worthwhile to preserve and protect our Constitution. Within it provides what's needed to provide life, liberty, and justice for all. The groups calling for something else are calling for systems that have been responsible for widespread destruction, death, and oppression throughout the world. Let me say this real quick, all right? How many times have you seen a Che Guevara t-shirt walking around? Oh, yeah. Che Guevara, he was a revolutionary in Cuba. Murdered and killed people, Marxist. And yet, there's groups of young people that walk around not understanding and finding a hero. Do you hear what I'm saying? Discipleship of the mind into a world system that will kill it. We better just be aware. We must honestly examine our history, not just revisionist history being pushed to erase the nation's foundations found in faith. Nor should we wash away our nation's history found when slavery did come. It's not an either-or proposition. It's we got to know our history, okay? But just as today they were flawed people that somehow God brought together to establish something the world had not seen before, just like he does throughout the Bible, he used flawed people. Abraham was willing to call Sarah his wife and let Pharaoh sleep with her because he was afraid of getting shot, and that's the father of our faith. But in Christ, the story is redeemed, okay? So let's understand this. We can learn lessons to improve instead of tearing it all down. I look to men like our founding fathers, but also to Douglas and Martin Luther King. And I'll just tell you what right now, I've been following this gentleman, John T. Thomas, of civil righteousness up in St. Louis. And brother has been in the streets ministering the gospel. And there's several different guys that have been doing this thing. It was amazing. Let me just tell you the story real quick. They're there to preach the gospel, both black and white ministers. They look around and they see a few agitators, and they go directly to them and begin to share the gospel with them. And then it said, some of the stories was they would begin to try to agitate the crowd, like F the police. And then one guy was trying to light a smoke bomb to simulate tear gas and throw it. This was it. And they just came up and said, no, brother. And the guy was like, hit the atmosphere of who they are, because they weren't afraid and going, who are you? Some turned, some actually still continuing it. And this is what boggled my mind. These guys are in here ministering. And then when the rioters did get going, they got tear gassed along with them. Right in the middle of it. Say, I'm here. Fear, hatred, I'm in the middle bringing a kingdom solution. Do you see what I'm saying? Not falling for agendas is my point. This it's not an easy gospel, y'all. I've been comfortable. I was comfortable 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Been nice just to build a good country church, feel good about ourselves, have lots of numbers, come and pat each other on the back and love each other. But that's not what he saved me for. We give our lives to him because he gave his life for us. There's no other option. There's no other option. And when we fail to do that, we actually fail to embrace the wholeness and the purpose of the one that called us. We must be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We must recognize the ungodly agendas at work within the world and within our nation. I believe the enemy is stirring more destruction by using groups who operate with other agendas. They're Marxist and anarchist groups jumping into the fray. And for them, it was not about George Floyd, it was about exploiting it. The agenda is to divide to the point, listen to this, the agenda is to divide to the point of mutual destruction so that they may rise to power in the middle of it. We must stand united against any agenda that's not kingdom in its nature. And I must say that this means recognizing a political spirit and a philosophy that has only served to further injustice rather than solve it. Look to those who pushed Jim Crow laws. Look to those who support Planned Parenthood, whose founder was a eugenist set on the eradication of blacks, has set policies that are attempted to create a permanent underclass in order to remain in power, who's been in political power within these cities that face the greatest divide and injustice, but has promoted other agendas just to stay in power. Agendas to destroy the family, redefine biblical marriage, redefine sex, redefine gender, and all call it social justice. I believe this must be taken into account when we're going to bring the issue. One-on-one, I'm going to love you. But I will not be taken captive by a vain philosophy that lifts itself up against the knowledge of who he is. The church must become the fullness of the image and body of Christ on the planet. We must each deal individually with anything not found in Christ and crucify it. We have to. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. And a refusal to crucify the areas that God's telling you to give up is actually disobedience and leading you into rebellion that's actually a falling away from faith. I'm almost going to say it. Come on, y'all. Y'all know me. I believe the goodness of God leads people to repent. But I'm telling you right now, this is a day of reckoning for us as a body. We cannot continue to come into church and pretend that everything's okay. We got to deal with the heart. We have to deal with the heart so that we can move into the place of his wholeness. The exposure of the heart's intention is purely for the purpose of applying the blood of Jesus to transform you into a new man. Not to make you look foolish, not to call you out. That's what the religious people do. They cause us to put on masks. But no, we have to know this thing. And he's calling us into intimacy with him. Do you understand? That's the beauty of how he disciplines us. How he pulls us this is, come close to me. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you how he made you. I'll just tell you this. One of the things that's really made me mad in the last couple weeks is this. People falling for an agenda that uses guilt, shame, and condemnation in order to move people to their side of the equation. That's the tactics of the devil. It's for manipulation and control. And I guarantee you throughout church history, any time manipulation and control, guilt and shame was used to preach the gospel, you better turn or burn, you better do this, but it was not anything about heart thing. It's people felt guilted into having an emotional turn, right? But never have a heart transformation. We can't do that anymore. There is a remnant of the church that's rising up that is kingdom. Because the kingdom people have dealt with their junk gratefully. Why? So that we can become everything he's called us to be. Everything he's called us to be. What's made me mad this week is I've heard this. I've heard, not just white people, but I've heard people going, well, you know what? These poor blacks, they were slaves, this or that. And in the demonstration of empathy, they come alongside and pat on the back. But I don't have to say this. It's patronizing them. I'm going, that's not my Jesus. You know why? I was born again into a new race. So I look at him going, where's the people that's saying, but you are made to be beautiful. You are made to be a powerful people. If you just knew who God was, if you just know and turn your heart to him, he has made you to be more than a conqueror. And here's on the flip side. This is the polarization I was just talking about. Here's the flip side. One of my brothers in Bernie, he sent me this picture, black preacher. I love you, JL, if you're watching. And it was this picture of some white people. They made up their own, I don't know how to say it, like the stocks, you know, that slaves would have been put into, like gallo type stuff, like, you know, this. And they're down and they're saying, we're sorry for our whiteness. And I'm going, your whiteness ain't the problem, sin is. Shame, guilt, condemnation. If you don't believe like I do, then you just don't care. That is shame and that's manipulation. And as a kingdom people, we better rise above that foolishness and begin to preach the gospel that says, where I was sinful, I've gone to the Lord and I've repented of it and he's faithful to forgive me. And he'll be faithful to forgive you. Here's the gospel. He didn't just die for my sins that I committed. He died for the sins committed against me. That's the gospel. So when we come to people who've been abused and hurt and broken, and it doesn't matter if it's sexual stuff, if it's slavery, if it's whatever it is, we have a solution that says, I see where you're at, I hear your pain, but here is the solution. The God of the universe so loved you that he took that on that you experienced. He knows the pain that you've been in. He knows the rejection you've been in. He knows the abuse you've been in. But he took it on so you would not have to carry it and be subject to it anymore. Praise the Lord. Yes. It's possible to walk out of post-traumatic syndrome. It's possible to become a redeemer. And how do I know this? The woman at the well. Yes. Yes. The lepers. And me. I once was lost. He redeemed me. Do you know that? Your story matters. So does mine to him. And this is the gospel we preach. But not just preach. We have to demonstrate the gospel of reconciliation. Somebody said to me this week, oh, you charismatics, you're just talking about the power of the Spirit and talking about prophetic ministry and this and that. And like it was some big emotional thing. I'm like, are you serious? The only way I know how to speak into the heart of someone who's broken is if he tells me how to. If he gives me the words, that the words of life, my words are not words of life, but his are. And I replied back to him saying, so what do you do when you see somebody who's got cancer? Well, we pray for them. Do you believe they'll be healed? Well, God's sovereign. He'll decide that. I'm like, that's a cop out. Why do we talk about the power of the Spirit? Because there's broken people that need healing. And we can't do it on our own, but with him, come on, hear me on this. Healing revival. The 50s, Jack Coe and Oral Roberts and others moved in physical healing. And I'm telling you, that will happen. What if the healing revival now was once those who were so broken and battered of their heart, but in a touch from the love of God, they were made brand new. And Kelly, I mean, when I say this, Kelly's a counselor. She walks people through process. I've walked people through process. I believe in process. So that's not saying we don't need that. But what I'm telling you is the world is filled with counselors who don't have the counsel, the great counselor. When we counsel, we bring the Holy Spirit that counsels. Do you hear what I'm saying? Y'all doing okay? Is it not too hot in here? The church must become the fullness of the image and body of Christ on the planet. We must deal individually with anything not found in Christ and crucify it. We've seen a purification of the church. We live by Christ's indwelling nature within us. Let me repeat that. We live by Christ's indwelling nature within us. But there's an apostolic friend of mine in Burnie, J.L. Macklin, that said this. He classifies sin as Satan's indwelling nature. What if we stopped calling it behavior issues and we started calling it indwelling natures? What's indwelling you? Is it Christ or is it the devil? Very simple. No shame, no guilt, condemnation. What spirit do you operate from? What moves your heart? Let's deal with that. Saved. Your sins are totally paid for. Healed. The healing of your body, the healing of your broken heart. Set free. No longer are you bound by the chains of the devil or your past or what people said about you or didn't say about you or did to you or didn't do to you. It's not minimizing it all. It's all real. But we have the answer. We've been born again, set free from sin. You can legislate behavior, but you cannot legislate the heart change. Only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. We must call people up into who God created and redeemed them to be. Guilt, shame, and condemnation are not the tactics of our Father, but instead they're tactics used by the enemy to manipulate and control. Let's not use it, church. Conviction of the Holy Spirit leads to true repentance and lasting heart change. How many were guilted into something which resulted only in a surface level or temporary behavioral change, but no heart change? Listen to this. They are left thinking they are saved, but are daily fueled by guilt and not transformed into a new man. We must engage in a battle plan designed to take dominion of the planet, ground warfare, one-on-one, loving people into the kingdom, and control the air. People say, oh, he's a principality, the spirit of the air. Well, that's the second heaven. I'm seated with him in the third heaven. The last time I saw, God laughs at his attempts. So we must control the air. Air superiority, prayer, worship, the declaration of the word, hello? The transforming of our minds whenever we see an anti-kingdom agenda that's presented, we call it for what it is, regardless of who's going to laugh at us or point fingers and stuff like that. We must take back the airwaves. Look at Peter. He follows Christ from afar as he's being arrested. He's outside the gates. He's not there with his friend, even though he said he'd be there. And this little girl, most people say, aren't you him? No, I'm not him. Finally, this little girl says, aren't you a follower of Jesus? I'm not that blankety blank. I don't know him. I mean, he dropped the fisherman F-bomb. We can just, that's probably what it was. And all of a sudden, he hears the rooster crow. Why? To silence his voice. Guilt, shame, condemnation. After the crucifixion, Jesus restores him back to this place of boldness. And on the day of Pentecost, who's the first one out there preaching? It's Peter. 3,000 people are saved. Boldness. Boldness. He's arrested for preaching the gospel. The religious leaders, stop preaching this Jesus. If you don't, we're going to throw you in jail and probably kill you. And their response is this, should we obey you or should we obey him? You didn't die for me, he died for me. Paul goes to Rome. He's not afraid of Nero. He's not afraid of the different ones. He goes there to speak to the governing authorities and teaches about the kingdom for 2 years before he's crucified or before he's killed, martyred. And within a short period of time, Roman, the gospel goes through Rome. He wasn't silent. He did not remain silent. Should I listen to you or should I listen to him? That's what I'm talking about. And let's say this, let's use social media to edify, build up, and encourage, not to tear down anymore. I did this in the first service because I don't want anybody thinking I'm talking to you. So, if you're on social media and getting into arguments, stop it. Avoid foolish controversies and arguments. Preach the gospel in truth, but go to the person one-on-one. If you can't go one-on-one with somebody, then don't get caught up into an argument when you can't see their face. Because you can't love them without seeing their face. We okay? I'm just saying, the body needs to grow up a little bit. It's time. The kids are fighting. It's stop it. There's people I don't agree with at all. But I love them, and I know their heart, and I will die for them. The freedom of speech is important. The moment we begin to ratchet that down is the moment you lose your voice. Because we have nothing to be afraid of. We don't. Not from another human. Don't fear man who can't kill you. What am I calling for? Revolution in the spirit. Revival. Awakening. There's conversations that are happening. I've watched it, and I don't... Here's the thing. I don't agree with everything. But here's the thing. I'm unified that the kingdom is going to be brought. Because I know there's men and women who are kingdom people. That they're seeking his face. And they see things differently than I do. And it's okay. Because he sees clearly. We must receive healing. I'll say this real quick too. Dan Moeller, when he was here the first time, if you don't know who Dan Moeller is, find him out. He's on our website in terms of like our back of conference we did. But I was sitting right over there where David's sitting, and multiple times as he was teaching, he looked over at me and said, Pastor Jay, don't you ever judge somebody to be guilty if you don't know their heart. And I was like, and I asked somebody, what are you talking about? He goes, so often we come and say, hey, church, you got a bunch of sin in you, so I'm calling you out. And he goes, if you're not one-on-one, all you're doing is making them sin-conscious instead of son-conscious. You go one-on-one and you love on somebody, and if they need to be called into righteousness, you call them in righteousness as a father. You hear what I'm saying? This is what I've heard. So I'm just going to say it. You are an amazing group of people. You love well. You care well. Our nation is a generous nation. Sin has had its way, but let's just remember who founded this nation. God did. I'm reminded of what Joseph told his brothers. They were worried that he was going to kill them after Jacob died. He goes, no, you didn't do this. The Lord sent me here. because he understood how, in the divine purpose of God, God worked all things out for his good and the good of the world, according to his purpose. Do you understand that? So we got to let go of unforgiveness. We have to let go of root of bitterness. We have to let go of these things. Receive the wholeness of the Lord, and then let the work of the gospel have its work inside of us. Let me read a few scriptures for you. Y'all okay? Can I take, I know my time is done. Can I take 5 more minutes? Fan yourself. It's going to be okay. I know it's hot, but I like what Chris said. Maybe it's like an old school tent revival, you know? Get us in the mood. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in the struggle against sin. Even if somebody dies against that, they didn't die in a struggle to stop sin. Only Jesus did that. And if you've forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children, he said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his very own children. Who has ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father?" I'll tell you who. People that are rebellious. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share, listen to this, in his holiness. It's not fear of punishment. Because fear of punishment keeps you out of holiness. When he disciplines us, when he grows us, when he matures us, it's actually making us holy as he's holy. No discipline's enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Listen to what this says. Now he's no longer just talking about you as a weak and lame person. Now he's talking about people that you're going to go to. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. That's when we go. We make the lame strong. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that there's no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. But you've not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. I'm just going to say this in your eschatology. Stop looking for the doom and gloom. Amen. There'll be some darkness, but stop looking for it. Look at what it says. That's a whole other message. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible they begged God to stop speaking. What if the problem we're facing is because people beg God to stop speaking? And what's really need to be said is the word of God released in power. They staggered back underneath God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at that sight that he said, "I'm terrified and trembling." But no, you have come to Mount Zion. Let me hear you say this. I have not come to Mount Sinai. I have come to Mount Zion. Listen to this. To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who speaks to us from heaven. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. I told you that. He's shaking demonic realms that's causing them, the masquerade, to fall so we can see it as kingdom people and deal with it as kingdom people. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Would you stand up with me so I can give you hope of an end? You guys are awesome. When you get the anointing in, it's hot outside. It makes it doubly hot. I understand T.G. Jakes now, man. He just goes through. I was watching him one time. I was like, he went through like four rags. It's the anointing plus the heat. I'm just telling you, he's good. Let me give you this concept real quick, and then we're going to pray. I've heard many people say this week, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? But I, Yahweh, examine the mind and I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. The things you're seeing that are sin in the world is that people not born again have a deceitful heart and it's incurable. Except for, let me hear you say, except for Jesus Christ. Right? Ezekiel 36, for I'll take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit will be put within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe all my ordinances. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the body, we do not wage in an unspiritual way. We don't wage war, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing. Let me hear you say high-minded. So there's a mindset that's trying to take over the world. And it's the kingdom mindset that's needed. There's every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every single thought captive to obey Christ. And listen to this. We are ready to punish any disobedience. It's not punishing people. Listen to this. The moment you're aware of an unkingdom thought, punish it and condemn it to hell. Don't play with it. Don't patty cake it. Don't entertain it. Stomp it. We have to deal with these things right now. I'm going to read this verse over you. If I can find it. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, we seek to persuade people. We are completely open before God, and I hope we are completely open to your conscience as well. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us, that you may have a reply for those who take pride in the outward appearance rather than the heart. The Lord doesn't care about the outward behavior changes. He's looking for the heart. And as it says, the Lord takes pride in your inward heart. For we are out of our mind, it's for God. If we have a sound mind, it is for you. I'm going to say this. The world is going to think you're out of your ever-living mind. And I'm okay with that. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we got to have a sound mind. Because we don't operate with human wisdom. Listen to this. This is what I'm going to commission you with. For Christ's love compels us. Since we've reached this conclusion that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. I'm going to read that again. He died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we've known Christ only as a human, yet we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He's committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, we just come and we say yes. Who will go?
I will.
Then Lord, send us your spirit. Transform our hearts. We once and for all sacrifice anything that's not kingdom. Old mindsets, old grudges, old traumas. We sacrifice it and say that your blood is enough to make us whole, and therefore your blood is enough to make our nation and the world whole. I ask for love that would compel us this week. Baptize us with your love. Let me just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.